At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own? With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your favorite Canadian, Rico, back at it again. You are tuned in to BFPN, Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network, home to 7 days a week of Buffalo Bills content, news, updates, analysis, you name it, we got it 7 days a week. So sit back, relax, turn up the volume. It's BFPN, Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network.
Bills Mafia, what is going on? Turn the volume down on my mic or my headphones a little bit here. Bills Mafia, what's up, Bills Mafia? Well, just like that, football is fun again. Welcome into the Overreaction Bills Podcast, brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I am your host, the voice of the Overreaction Bills Podcast, Joe Miller, and you can find me, as always, on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. Who is the Market Dominator, you ask? Well, the Market Dominator is none other than my great friend, John Spaschek. John Spaschek is a broker, real estate broker with Keller Williams Realty here in Western New York. He is often ranked in the top 100. And I'll just be honest with you, if I had to choose or if I had to weigh in on my opinion, John Spaschek is the number one real estate broker in Buffalo. I have never, never heard a bad review about John. The reality is he is consistently ranked in the top 100 realtors in all of Western New York. He opens doors through exceptional client care and education, and he not only helps you sell your home for top dollar, but he leads you through the entire transition of selling and buying your home as a life transition specialist would. What does that mean? It means that selling your home and buying a new one is hard. And it's not something you should do by yourself, first of all, by owner, nor is it something you should do with somebody that's not ready to walk you through that transition. If you're looking to buy a house, if you're looking to sell a house, do yourself a favor. Give John a phone call. You can reach him at 716-570-3298. The number again, 716-570-3298. Or you can email him at yourelitebroker@gmail.com. That email address is yourelitebroker@gmail.com. Do what hundreds of people have already done. Give John a call. Make sure when you call him, you tell him that the voice sent you. Well, welcome into the show. Like I said, just like that, football is fun again. Doesn't take much, does it? It just takes your favorite football team winning. They don't even necessarily have to play the most amazing, dominant football game. They just need to end up on the right side of the win-loss column, which in this case, our Buffalo Bills did. And the funny thing about this football game in general is when you think no punt games, so like when we all have this especially the older Bills Mafia members like myself, when we think no punt game, we're thinking Jim Kelly, high-powered offense against Steve Young and the 49ers, no punts, 49 points scored by each team, and I have no idea who's going to come out on top, but it's going to be a juggernaut, and basically the defenses aren't even there. This was also a no-punt game, but if I told you that this was a no-punt game where the Buffalo Bills scored 18 points, you're probably not thinking to yourself that this was a very fun game to watch. And frankly, it wasn't. It wasn't the most entertaining football game. We'll get into that in a second. But the Buffalo Bills, I mean, bright side, they had, I think, 9 drives into scoring position. So 8 of them resulted in field goal attempts, of which Tyler Bass made 6. He missed the net twice on 2 of them. Josh Allen fumbled on 1 sack. Like I said, deep in scoring position. But they had 9 scoring drives, I believe. There were no punts in this football game for the Buffalo Bills. I think the Jets punted 2 times, maybe 3. 18 points, no punts. But the story of this game was the Bills playing what I would consider a gritty and ugly divisional game that, frankly, they had to have. Now, I'm not saying that it was a must win. So don't get me wrong when I say that they had to have this football game, that somehow it was a must win. Like if they didn't win it, that they're out of contention or they're out of the playoffs. That's not what I'm saying. Clearly, there is a lot of football left. The Buffalo Bills are now 5-2 after beating the Jets this Sunday. And with that, they're in the driver's seat in the AFC, or I should say the AFC East. But it's a must win in the sense that if they lose this game, it's not sitting well with the fan base, or basically I would imagine you would have to guess that it wouldn't sit with the team, regardless of what the players and the coaches are saying in their press conferences. It would have been bad. If the Bills lose this football game, or had they lost this football game, it frankly would have just been bad. Like, I would go as far as saying this. Last week on all of the highlight shows, the Bills played last Monday at 5 o'clock, as you know, against the Kansas City Chiefs, and that football game was not fun to watch. There was a lot going on in that football game that wasn't necessarily easily recognizable by us Bills fans as it pertains to who our football team is. They didn't play well at all. Yes, they had a shot late, as I kind of said in my preview show this past weekend. But the Cowboys were so bad that in all of the highlight shows, the national media lambasted the Cowboys, probably deservedly so, because the Cowboys fared not much better this past weekend, getting beaten by the Washington football team. But the Cowboys game was so bad that basically they just kind of breezed over the Bills game, and they didn't really lay into them a whole lot. Maybe it was the score, maybe it was the fact that Pat Mahomes was in town and didn't light the Bills up either. But had the Bills lost this football game, and don't get me wrong, all of us, there isn't a single one of us, Bills Mafia, Bills family members, Bills Nation, that were watching this football game, that at some point in time, we're like, what is going on? What are we doing here? Like, like, hello, we're playing football. The clock has started, right? It would have been bad had the Bills lost this football game. The good news is, inside of that story that we're talking about, the Bills defense made adjustments at halftime that worked defensively, and that's probably, that was the best half of football that we had seen this defense play all year in 2020. We had seen them play a decent quarter against the Raiders, and now we've seen them put a good half together against, albeit, the Jets, and the Jets are going to do Jets things, but we need to understand and realize that the Jets basically scored their 10 points in the first half. They drove down the field, scored a field goal, drove down the field again, turned the ball over on downs. Second quarter, drove the field again, scored a touchdown, came out to a 10-point lead. And it consequently took the Buffalo Bills offense until 1:37 in the third quarter to erode a 10-point Jet lead. Now, I just got done telling you that the Bills didn't punt. And when I get into the stats here in a second, it's a little bit perplexing as to how the Bills racked up some of the stats that they did, to include Josh Allen throwing for more than 300 yards, being in scoring position nine times, like driving the field into scoring position nine times and only coming away with 18 points. It took the Bills till the 137 mark in the third quarter, meaning a minute 37 left in that quarter, to finally erode a 10-point Jet lead. But I guess the good news is, and whether you want to put the accolades on the Bills defense, which clearly I'm ready to do, or you just want to call it simple ineptitude from the Jets, the Bills defense tightened up enough in the third and the fourth, and the Jets basically became a rudderless ship enough that once the Bills took the lead, there was really no scare for us as Bills fans. It got to the point when it got to 12-10. I was tweeting out there that the Bills were allowing the Jets to hang around, but the Jets legit, like, they were showing no signs of life. So even though the Bills were doing Billsy things and letting the Jets hang around by kicking field goals over and over again, the Jets were no danger, no threat of coming back in that football game. They were, I don't want to say listless, but it was just bad football. And I guess if there is a recurring theme that you're going to hear in today's show, it's basically that the Jets are a bad football team. The Jets were shut out last week against the Dolphins, and they didn't even convert a third down until the third quarter of that football game. And I think in this football game, they only converted two. Well, maybe that's not right. No, I am right. I'm just checking the stats. That actually is the number. They converted two in this football game. The Jets were 26th in the NFL in sacks allowed, and so they were allowing their quarterback to get sacked at that rate that they were 26th in the NFL. And I had said in my preview show, my preview pod this past weekend, that if the defensive line was going to find itself, it was going to be this football game. And well, the Bills, I think, came away with six sacks. I'm not wanting to get into the stats yet, but they're just kind of trickling in. And the Bills are still 25th against the league against the run, and Frank Gore was doing rookie Frank Gore. Oh, wait, what's that? He's not a rookie? Oh, he's been in the league for 35 years. He's 71 years old. Oh, I'm sorry. The way he was running on the Bills defense, I just assumed that he was like, you know, 1 year or 2 years out of college. I mean, he only averaged 5.5 yards a carry against the Bills defense. Yes, I'm being sarcastic, but telling you the truth at the same time. But I told you in that preview podcast over the weekend in regards to this show or this game that the Bills need to make a statement on offense and defense, especially in the trenches. Not just have a nice game, they need to impose themselves on the Jets. And while I would say that they did not necessarily impose themselves on offense through the entire game, the offensive line played okay. It wasn't necessarily lights out. Josh Allen got sacked. He got put at risk. He had to make some moves. He had to, obviously, he threw the ball away. I don't even know how many times, 3-4 times. He got strip sacked one time. That's all on the offensive line. As much as you want to blame Josh Allen for having, you know, ball handling issues, when a quarterback gets strip sacked, that's on the offensive line. And the defense did a very good job in that second half to include one veteran defensive end on this football team that we kind of knock a little bit once in a while just because of whether or not he's going to show up or when he does show up or how he shows up. But let me give you the stats real quick on this football game. And we're going to get more into it in a minute. Josh Allen was 30 or 43 for 307 yards. He had no touchdowns, no interceptions. He did have one fumble loss. Josh Allen also led the team in rushing with 11 carries for 61 yards, 5.5 yard average. Zach Moss played in this game. He had seven carries for 47 yards. He averaged 6.7. I'm not sure what to make of Zach Moss, and I might make some people, specifically my great friend Jay Spence at Jay Spence the King, host of the Code of Conduct podcast, angry when I say that I'm not sure what to make of him. And what I mean by I'm not sure what to make of him is I was expecting to get the second coming of Marshawn Lynch. Zach Moss seemed to play bigger in college to me than he does in the pros. And I know it's still early, but I expected, like I said, kind of like the second coming of Marshawn, that, you know, I want to make defenders make business decisions. And he just kind of runs into people. instead of like the second coming of Marshawn Lynch, it seems more like what we're getting is kind of a less strong and maybe not quite as determined version of Travis Henry, if that makes any sense. Like, I like him. I'm not saying I don't like him, but I need to see some things from Zach Moss. And the touches that Zach got late in the game, I'm not necessarily sure they were quite as effective as some of the early stuff that Devin Singletary had. Devin Singletary was 8 of 29 for 3.6. I'm not sure what to get. So on the day, the Bills rushed for 126 yards, which is great, average, you know, with an average of 4.7. Isaiah McKenzie had one rush for minus 11, so that one hurt, right? But I'm excited to see how the rest of the season plays out for Zach Moss. I want to see more of him. I'm not throwing the towel in on him. Don't get me wrong. I just, from a comp standpoint, he's not giving me Marshawn Lynch. He's giving me more, like I said, less talented, less strong, like less power running version of Travis Henry right now. Doesn't mean he won't find himself. It doesn't mean he won't find his legs. Sometimes it takes these guys a little bit. If you remember last year, it took Devin Singletary until after his injury to kind of come to life. Cole Beasley was 11 receptions for 112 yards. What a game from Cole. Bruce Nolan, I think, at one point tweeted out, let's just run the entire offense through Cole Beasley. I don't even care right now. And I'm not going to lie to you, Cole Beasley is talented and open all the time. If anybody was ever deserving of the moniker or the nickname 7-11, it's Cole Beasley. Sorry, Chris Hogan. You are not 7-11. Cole Beasley is. Average 10 yards per reception. Tyler Kroft had a nice football game. He could have scored. He should have scored on that ball that he caught on the outside boundary when he tripped over, when he pulled his own Danny Dimes impersonation, Daniel Jones, when he tripped over his own feet. 4 for 64, average of 16 yards. Stephon Diggs was 6 of 48, or 6-4, 48, I should say. Zach Moss had 3 receptions of 25. It was nice to see him get into the pass game. Singletary, 2 receptions for 18 yards. Reggie Gilliam had 1. Isaiah McKenzie had 2. Gabriel Davis had 1. Gabriel Davis had a beautiful touchdown reception. It was called back by a, what do we want to call it? We're going to call it basically a ticky-tack penalty. A penalty where, you know, you're talking 6 inches, 4 inches, maybe. You know, if he's leaning forward a shade more, he doesn't get that penalty. It was weak. It was a weak call. But one of the great things that's not going to get talked about in this football game that we're seeing a lot from Josh Allen is, once again, Josh Allen hit, 8 different receivers in this football game. You're talking about a kid who is progressing and continuing to grow in his game as a quarterback, to where not only is he not necessarily always forcing the ball and he's not a single read quarterback, he's going through his progressions, but he's finding different guys all over the field, which is nice to see. The Jets, Sam Darnold was 12 of 23 for 120 yards, 2 interceptions. Frank Gore was 11 carries for 60 yards with a 5.5 yard average. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. LaMichael Perine. That's what they kept saying. So I was trying to catch his nameplate on the back of his shirt through the whole game, because that's just Perine. It's just a weird way to say his name. So I was expecting like the letter P in a dash and then Ryan or Reen, but sorry, I digress. 11 carries, also 11 carries for 39 yards. As a team, they had just under 100 yards, 99 total yards for a 4.5 yard average. Denzel Mims led the way, 4 receptions for 42 yards. Braxton Berrios, 4 of 32. Breshad Perriman, 2 of 27, and he got destroyed by Micah Hyde in that football game with that catch. Micah Hyde literally separated him from the football. There were many people that called that a dirty hit and were kind of upset with Hyde, even Bills fans. And I would tell you that I don't know that I would call it a dirty hit. It just was an old football hit. And not only was it an old football hit, it was clean. He didn't hit him in the helmet. Yes, he hit him a little high. He hit him, you know, above, probably at chest level, you know, chest to shoulders. And he, as Rich Gannon said, he probably should hit him a little bit lower. But it was, he did what defenders are taught to do, which is to separate the man from the football. And it was a solid hit. He blew him up. And hopefully, you know, obviously we hope that Perriman's going to be okay. It was nothing like, you want to talk about a dirty hit. The dirty hit was on Andy Dalton, the Washington football team, that just about took, I don't know who the defender was, but he just about took his head off. Like, literally, like, he hit him so hard, Dalton's helmet came off, and Dalton's face went right into the turf. Like, went, he was unconscious, and he was still like sliding in the middle of his slide when his face like slammed into the dirt. It was not a pretty sight. But we talked a little bit about Josh Allen a second ago, and clearly this whole entire season, as we've talked about since the beginning and even before the season, you know, this is the season of Josh Allen. At least we thought it was. Is it, how funny, how weird is this season for us? What we thought it was going to be, what it is turning out to be. Meanwhile, the record is pretty much what we thought it was going to be. Like at this point in the season, we assumed it was we were going to be 6-1 or 5-2. That was pretty much where everybody had us. All the radio guys, all the national media guys, all the podcast hobbyists like myself, like fans, everybody. I mean, pretty much everybody kind of had us around that 6-1, 5-2 mark. But we did not expect the Bills to come out the way they did early in the season with Josh Allen throwing the ball all over the place. We expected to see the number two defense kind of continue in that reign, maybe get a little bit better, suffocate opposing team offenses while Josh hopefully took that next step and we were going to find out, quote unquote, who Josh Allen was by midseason, by week 8. That was what I said. Realizing the whole time that this is legitimately the season of Josh Allen, because as Josh Allen goes, this season is going to go. If he plateaus or regresses, this they're not going to go far. It was the thought, but if he takes that next small step, that Josh Allen, the Bills with this defense could be great. And what we've gotten is, holy crap, Josh Allen, and holy crap, defense. if that makes it, can I say it that way? Like, holy crap, Josh Allen, and holy crap, that defense. Like, I don't want to say that it's the reverse, but it's close. But it's weird to me, and I thought about this today. Josh Allen, opening drive, the very first drive they had, is running out of the field, and I just, for some reason, my attention was drawn to his shoulder brace. And it just kind of hit me that Josh Allen has not been the same Josh Allen since he tweaked that shoulder in the Raiders game. Notwithstanding the reality that we all have watched, that the Bills did not want to play that Titans game. They did not want to be in Tennessee, and there's speculation now that that's how Dawson Knox got COVID. Who knows? We don't know where he got it from. And the Bills were clearly outplayed, outmuscled, out-hustled, out-gamed against the Chiefs. But Josh Allen wasn't great against the Chiefs. But it, when you think about shoulders and shoulder injuries, specifically as a quarterback, and a quarterback that has been working on his mechanics, footwork, body position, where that arm is supposed to be. You know, there's a lot of funny things out there about eating the burger with your left hand when you're throwing the football. It just kind of struck me that Josh has not really been the same since that shoulder injury, accuracy wise. He was better. He was a lot better this game. A lot better. In the first half, Josh Allen was 12 of 20 for 60% completions, 129 yards with 48 rushing yards. And it was clear that the Bills were trying to figure out how to beat that zone coverage. And they did a very good job. I talked to you a second ago about the defense having made some adjustments at half. The offense did as well. They picked up their game. In the second half, listen to this. Allen was 18 of 23, 78% for 178 yards. And I already kind of gave you what his total was, 30 of 43 for 307. The Bills came out in this football game and they got back to who they were, 16 straight passes to start the football game. And I'm going to be honest with you, I liked it. I have more trust in Josh Allen dropping back and throwing the football than I do in the Buffalo Bills trying to come out with some weird balanced attack where, even though today they showed that they were capable early of running between the tackles, there were some good blocks. By and large, this football team just isn't good at running the football yet. I think the low point for me, Josh Allen had two very turnover-worthy passes, and he got somewhat lucky. They were just bad, poor decisions. I know what he was trying to do with the Gabe Davis one, the first one that he threw, and Gabe was in the end zone, and the defender just made a great play. He was giving Gabe a chance, and as much as Rich Gannon said that it was a poor decision and a ball he never should have thrown, the reality was is Josh was just like, I trust you, Gabe. Here it comes. And, it's a 50-50 ball, and sometimes, if it was 100% ball, Gabe would catch it every time, but it's a 50-50 ball. So if it's 50-50, you got 50% chance of catching it and a 50% chance of not catching it, right? But it's funny because this is a week-to-week league, and every week it seems like we're getting something different from this football game since those first four games. Like, the first four games of the season, offensively, Josh Allen in this offense was who we thought they were. Like, oh, this is who this team is. And then, like, the Titans game was like, who's this team? And then the Chiefs game was like, who's this team? And then today there was a semblance back to the first 4 weeks, except for the fact that we need to score touchdowns and not field goals. Field goals don't win football games, even though they did today. Right? So I think the only last thought that I have about Josh's game today, early in the game, Josh, it seems like he was either having trouble finding open guys or guys just weren't getting open. And we know, we've seen over the last couple weeks that through the first four games, we've seen Josh beat man all over the field. Very comfortable, very confident. If he's getting man looks, it's like Josh is dangerous with the football. Teams know that now. So they've begun playing more zone against him, and it was trouble for Josh early, like the last couple games. So obviously, we've seen him and Dable begin to overcome some of that. So more growth from Josh Allen. Yes, please, I'm on that train. Because every step that he takes turns him one step closer into being that franchise 15-year player that we all hope, want, and dream that he's going to be. Well, not maybe all of us. Some of you out there don't like him still, but those of us that are sane Bills fans love Josh Allen. There's no reason. I just gave you, I don't know what you're talking about, a floor game. These are floor games for Josh Allen now. The Titans game, which was a loss. This game, floor game. 3 of 43, 307 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. That's a floor game. That's like Josh Allen came out and played football. It's not the 360-yard, four touchdown game or the 420-yard, five touchdown game, which I've said this to you before, and I hope you understand when I say it. We still haven't seen Josh Allen's ceiling yet. We have not seen Josh Allen in the zone for four quarters. The Brett Favre game, the Tom Brady losing his mind game, the, you know what I'm talking about? Like, we still have not seen that game from Josh Allen. It's coming. My God, I hope it happens this week against the Patriots. Just because it wouldn't matter. I mean, as long as if we beat the Patriots by 1 point and it's like, you know, I don't know, 7-6, great. But if there's a game that I want to see the Bills put a 50 burger, or a team that I want to see the Bills put a 50 burger on it, you better believe it's the Patriots. What a game for Josh Allen to come out and just sling the ball all over the football field for like 500 yards and five touchdowns, four straight quarters of dominance from the quarterback. Do it just the way that Tom Brady did it to us for all those years. It'd be magical. Shifting gears, if you will. Early, and I just want to talk about the defense briefly. Early, the defense was awful. Awful. My gosh, that defense was just not good again. The Jets drove the field three times. The first time, and the Bills seemingly couldn't score them. They were getting, it was like 5.5, like six yards. Like it was reminiscent of the Chiefs game. Everything the Jets were trying to do early worked. Frank Gore up the middle for 8 yards. Frank Gore here, Frank Gore there. Darnold was throwing the ball all over the football field. He was super, super precise and very efficient early. The Bills' defense just sometimes seem to make it too easy for an awful offense to gain yards. Because that's what that offense was. That was an awful, regardless of what Jerry Sullivan says, that was an awful offense. And Sam Darnold is not, I repeat, not a better passer of the football than Josh Allen. And I don't know when people are going to get off that horse. Because, hello, watch some football, people. But the Jets luckily did what bad teams do, and they self-destruct and they end up beating themselves. They just basically ran out of gas. They came out with energy. They came out with some excitement. They were executing. They were putting it to this Bills defense. This defense was on its heels again. The New York Jets in the first quarter had 12 and a half minutes of time of possession with the football. The Bills had the ball for 2.5 minutes. Think about that for a second. That first quarter went by in a blink. Dude, when that first quarter ended, as much as they turned the ball over on downs and we got it back, or I should say the drive ended, that second drive, my butthole was puckered. I was basically like, are we going to see four quarters of this? Like, is this what's happening? But like I said, the Jets are a bad football team, and it showed. Like, that team is, we're just going to call it, they're just a bad football team. They're not bad football players. There's a lot of great players on that football team. They're just a bad, poorly coached football team. But just one more time, the Jets, you know, they came out the first drive, had the field goal. They came out the second drive, had the turnover on downs. And then they had the touchdown in the second quarter on their third drive. And after that, by and large, the Buffalo Bills shut them down. Less than probably 50 yards the rest of the game. I think they had like 14 yards in the second half. So the Bills went from like being like horrible to being all world. And I'm going to say it one more time. I said it at the top of the show. The Jets are a bad football team. But the Bills went into the half and they made some defensive adjustments, and whatever the defensive adjustments they made worked. And I got to think that the Jets didn't make any adjustments. They were like, you know what? We've been somewhat successful. This Bills defense is who we thought they were in the first half, and the game plan we've put together that we've scripted is working, so we're just going to stick with this. And the Bills said, no, sir. And that defensive line did what it needed to do. It stepped up and made the changes and did the things it needed to do to make a difference in that football game. They ended the day with 6 sacks, 10 quarterback hits, and 2 turnovers, both of which were interceptions. And, oh, by the way, they got their first interceptions of the season. Think about that for a second. One by a new kid, that Jackson kid. Was it Devin Jackson, I think his name was? And Jerry Hughes became a monster at the end of the football game. Jerry Hughes played the best 10-15 minutes he's played as a Buffalo Bill in probably the last 3 years. That's the Jerry Hughes that we backed up the Brinks truck for. Give me that Jerry Hughes every football game. Where has that guy been? It was almost like he found himself. It was fun to watch. And they called a holding penalty against him. We'd never see that happen. But by and large, this defense found itself. They did a good job, again, against a bad Jets football team. And the good news is we have a bad Patriots team coming in right behind it, which if you were not paying attention to the Patriots game, they benched Cam Newton after throwing 3 interceptions. Cam is just not, he's not necessarily what he was sold to us to be going to the Patriots. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to come into Buffalo and he's not going to, or that he's not going to come into a game against Buffalo and that, you know, he's not going to have a good day, or that he couldn't come to life, or they couldn't game plan something that works for him. He's clearly a quarterback that plays a lot like Josh Allen. You would think that this defense on both sides would know how to defend against a very big, strong-armed running quarterback. But as much as we had billed this to be a get-right game, and I don't know that we would necessarily call it having gotten right by the Bills, they did a good job. They did what they had to do. It was a gritty divisional game. The divisional games are always a little bit harder. There's a great deal of pride and solace that can be taken in the fact that they drove the field into scoring position 9 times in this game. That's a big thing. That's a big deal, even against the Jets. And frankly, the Jets aren't necessarily a bad defensive football team. They're not horrible. They're just a bad coached football team. So I'm really excited just to see what happens next week as the Bills line up against the what are now the 4-2 New England Patriots against the 5-2 Buffalo Bills. Seeing the Bills extend that opportunity to go to 6-2 this year, basically still undefeated in the division, dropping the Patriots to what would be 2-5. The Dolphins are going to be starting Tua. And the Jets are the Jets, right? So it just seems like things are lining up. I mean, you're talking about the Bills have a pristine opportunity to wrap this division up pretty quick. They just got to handle their business. So let's do this. Before I read your tweets, I want you to do me a favor. So I've talked about it over the last couple of weeks, and I've seen my numbers grow and kind of change. But we used to be, this show used to be, I should say, so I am on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network, which you know because you hear me talk about all the time. And I am on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network with a bunch of other great podcasts and great podcast hosts. And we are always constantly growing the network and adding more talent to the roster. However, we used to be on one channel. So you would basically go to Spotify, Apple, iTunes podcast, or Google Play or Stitcher or whatever, and you type in Buffalo Fanatics and it would come up and my show would be there on Monday, and then Bot would be there on Tuesday. At the time, Code of Conduct would be there on Wednesday, and the Basement would be there on Thursday, Nap would be there on Friday, KC on Saturday, yada, yada, yada. You know how it goes. Well, what's happened is we have broken out the network and given everybody their own show, their own channel, even though we're all still on the Buffalo Fanatics Network. So what I want you to do, I want you to find this show if you haven't done so already, and I want you to subscribe. If you subscribe, you will never miss one of my shows because your phone will alert you. It will download the show, and it will alert you that I've released one, which there's going. So right now I'm doing a show that comes out late on Saturday nights for a Sunday preview, and then clearly I'm doing the Monday Overreaction show. But there's going to be some other ones sprinkled in there. Like, I've got some stuff coming up. Like, I've got a new show coming out with John Fina. Yes, the former offensive tackle for the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a quarterly report show. So after every quarter of the NFL season for the Bills, John and I are going to talk, and John is going to break down for us what's going good for the Bills, what's going bad for the Bills. That show is going to be called Off Tackle with John Fina, a quarterly report, a quarterly Buffalo Bills report. And I'm really super excited about that show. I don't know what day it's going to drop. So here's the thing. If you subscribe to my podcast, to the Overreaction Bills podcast, you won't have to worry about when it airs because it's going to air. It's going to show up on your phone, your smart device, your laptop, your computer, wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. So do me a favor. Navigate inside of your podcast app to my show. Click subscribe, first of all. Second of all, do me this next favor. Rate it and review it. That helps me with my metrics. That helps me grow my podcast because when somebody gets in and they're like, hey, I want to listen to Buffalo Bills stuff, they type in Buffalo Bills in the search bar. Mine comes up. They're going to read the reviews. Is this guy like worth his salt or does he suck at what he does? If you get on there and say, hey, Joe Miller in the Overreaction podcast is awesome and it's a must listen and I have to listen to it every week, more than likely, they're going to listen to at least once and give me a chance. If you don't, if I have no reviews, and I've got some, but if you have no review, or if I have no reviews, then more than likely, they're not going to give me a chance. So subscribe, rate, review, give me 5 stars. If you give me anything less than 5 stars, I will find you. And then lastly, please tell your friends. So whether you're on Facebook or you're on social media, Twitter or Instagram or just around the office, if you hear somebody complaining that they just can't get good Bills coverage, let them know that you listen to a guy and you just love his stuff. He just talks to you as a fan just the way you want to hear about the Buffalo Bills. He overreacts a little bit, but he gives it to you straight, and he's not negative, and he's not overly positive, and it's just a lot of fun. So if you could do me those things, that would be great. So now let's transition to the best and my favorite part of this show, which is the part where I get to read the things that you've tweeted me on how you felt about this Buffalo Bills win. Every single week, as you know, after on the post game, I put out a tweet and it just says, hey, Bills Mafia, how you feeling about this win? And you guys always come through. You always come through. And this is, like I said, my favorite part of the show. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read your tweet. So let me just grab my phone. All right. Here we go. How are we feeling about that win over the Jets? Was the question. Comment below. Help me with my show. I will be reading your tweets on the Overreaction Bills pod. Here we go. Buddy Mills at Buddy Mills underscore EIT. Allen has been my focus all year, and after a shaky start, he seemed to settle in versus the zone looks. Overall, another encouraging performance from the most important position. I've said it. I said it on this show. We're talking about a season, the season that is Josh Allen, and he is already blowing away every expectation that we could have possibly had. So yes, I'm right there with you, bro. Richard Rush, my man, Richard Rush, big fan of the show. At Richard Rush, or at Richard R. Rush, the number two. I was worried early on, liked the way the D responded in the second half. Would love to see some touchdowns. We'll need them next week. Hashtag go Bills. The interesting thing about that, we talked about it a little bit, is Josh Allen threw that 50-50 ball to Gabe Davis. And obviously, it's a 50-50 ball for a reason. Then the touchdown pass to Gabe Davis that was called back was beautiful. And then, obviously, Tyler Kroft is still running if he doesn't trip himself up on that one pass that Josh threw him. TJ Rilla 21, and it's at T Rilla 21, like watching a horror film and finally able to somewhat breathe at the end. We survived with the ghastly emoji. T Estelle, my girl, T at T-E-S-T-E-L-L. Ugly win. Defense played well in the second half. I don't know what goes on with our offense, trying to get Diggs the ball when Cole Beasley is open most of the time. Yeah, this I'm going to say it again, this offense, like, just take what you got. And if they're going to give us Cole Beasley, take Cole Beasley all day long. My man Josh Keller, Mr. Keller at Crazy Keller X Kid. A win's a win. The man is right. A division game against a winless team is never easy. Hoping it gives the defense confidence moving forward, but something isn't right with Allen. He isn't anticipating throws like he was the first four games. He is forcing throws again and staring down receivers. I disagree, Josh. If you go back and watch that football game, there was a couple shots from the end zone in particular where you could see his head going from left to right and then back again. There was, clearly every quarterback keys on a hot look or keys on a matchup that they feel they have. So, when they scan the defense and they know the play call, there's a lot of times they know who they want to go to. And it's an early read, and that's where they're determined to go because then they know they can win there. So he does stare in those times, but all of them do it, including Brady. So I don't think it's time to worry at this point in time. I think a lot of what we have been dealing with Josh was his shoulder. So, Bailey, at Allen to Diggs. Honestly feel pretty happy with it. Defense seemed to come alive, and offense was consistently moving the ball all game. Just need better play calling and execution in certain spots. I added the word certain there. If we weren't robbed of the Gabe Davis TD, and if Croft would have kept running, this would have looked a lot different. Bailey, you are all over it. Dave Thorpe, my buddy Dave Thorpe, very, very big fan and friend of the show at Sacks of Dave. Angry, frustrated, confused, and happy all at the same time. The first half, I couldn't tell which team was winless. Yes, we have a lot of injuries, but that can't be an excuse. Second half was better, or would have been had we scored a touchdown. Not the make it right game we needed, but 5-2 is 5-2. I agreed. Kathleen, thank you for being part of the show. Kathleen at Kathleen Velas. So Kathleen, V-E-L-A-S, 11. It was fugly, but take the W. Lots to talk about. Red zone inability to score. Allen securing the ball. Tyler Bass, Dable play calling. Second half much better for defense. Need this type of play from Hughes every week. Kathleen, you and I are on the same page. Josh Christman, at Josh Christman, 86. A win is a win. Been seeing a lot of Bass hate, but he essentially won the game. He didn't essentially win the game. He did. I would like to know where the second half defense has been all season and where Jerry Hughes has been. My man, Pierre Kingpin, the man, the myth, the legend, the founder is up in the house at Pierre_Kingpin. I feel meh already on to next week, and to which I responded to him that next week is huge. C-Dub at ChrisWell73. This is funny. It's like having bad sex. It doesn't matter. You still had sex. He's not wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Amber Smith at Amber SM and a whole bunch of numbers. 3848-2826. She just says, I'm happy. So am I, Amber. Annalisa at Annalisa_DIB. Last week, I was defending Bass since we shouldn't be a team that needs to rely on a rookie kicker. Earlier this game, I couldn't defend him anymore. Then he broke a Bills kicking record. I don't know how to feel. Annalisa, right there with you as well. Beth from Buffalo. What's up, Beth? Welcome to the show at Buffalo_Beth. I'm happy with the win. Even though we didn't score, I like how we moved the ball when we needed to, and glad Moss got going. I liked the defensive adjustments after the half, and that defense showed some confidence. Also liked that Bass got some reps. A lot to learn from. You are indeed correct. Primetime Karen at Bills Fan 623. I mean, it's a win, but man, we need to do better all around. I liked the defensive adjustments in the second half, but we need to score TDs. You can see a theme here. Can you not, Bills Mafia? And yes, Bass made 6 field goals, but I just don't feel like he's dependable. He's a rookie. Rookies are going to struggle. He struggles at times. That's a little added for me. The Fooch at Tony Fucci, Tony F-U-C-C-I. Allen was 70%, but was focusing on Diggs a lot early on. Tony, I don't agree. So Josh Allen threw 16 times. The first 16 plays were passes, or at least were pass calls. And I don't think he targeted Diggs until like into the second quarter or into the third quarter. Cause I remember thinking about it, that he had thrown the ball quite a bit and hadn't targeted Diggs yet. Second half was what I expected all game, but with more TDs and less field goals, hopefully they are on track to right the ship from here on out. That is what we are all hoping for. Brent Mason at Brent Mason 29. only saw what was on red zone, but still troubled by the lack of run game and Allen having to throw 43 times against the Jets. I would tell you this, that's not something to be stressed about. That was by design. They threw 43 times by design against the Jets. Jeff S. at just Jeff 77. It's a W in the division. That's how you make the playoffs. Brady and Belichick won a lot of ugly games. Everyone breathe. 5-2 on to New England. And I agree. Those are your tweets. You have been listening to the Overreaction Bills podcast brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I'm your host, the voice of the Overreaction Bills podcast, Joe Miller. And you can always find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. And as I always like to say, whether this podcast found you around a cup of coffee, on your drive to work, struggling, battling the commute, or at the gym with your AirPods on, it is always just a pleasure and a treat just to have you with me. It's literally an honor. I say it all the time. I can never say it enough. I do not take for granted those of you that listen to me faithfully. Again, if you are listening to this podcast, please go back to your podcast platform, subscribe, rate, like, whatever it is, leave me a review and then retweet this stuff and share it on Facebook and tell your friends and neighbors about it. Let's grow this thing. Because I want to be here for a long time doing this with you guys, and I just want to expand my audience as far as I can. Big thanks to the Market Dominator, John Spaschek, my guy. Again, if you're looking to buy or sell a house, 716-570-3298. And as always, super huge thanks to the guys, Rico, Pierre Kingpin, and Bobby for letting me do this. Big shout out, mad shout outs for giving me this opportunity and this platform on Buffalo Fanatics. And hey, oh, by the way, if you are not doing anything on Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. on YouTube live is the Hump Day Hotline with myself and your guy at Jay Spence, the King. Join us every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Live on YouTube. It's also on Twitter and Facebook, but we would love to have you come be a part of the show. It is a live show. It is on the internet, and you can chat, comment, and ask us questions. We would just love to have you. We are on to New England. We are on to the Patriots. The Patriots, who are about backed into a corner as they can possibly be. Their quarterback situation looks bad. Their defensive situation looks bad. Edelman is hurt. And man, I tell you what, we've been saying it for a long time that if you want to be the man, you've got to beat the man. And now is the time, ladies and gentlemen. Now is the time, Bills Mafia, to beat the man. So we are on to New England. Here's to looking forward to this week. Here's to Victory Monday. Here's to a great week of football. It's just great to be back in the W column. I love you guys. This is Joe Miller at Joe Miller Wired signing off. We'll talk to you guys next time. Go Bills.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.